You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Wow. You and I haven't spoken about this.
Nah, balls out of habits.
The Fantasy Football Show.
Hello everybody and welcome to Planet FPL, the world where everything revolves around Fantasy Premier League. It's a Friday deadline day. My name's Serge.
And my name is James.
Which means we need to do everything about twice as fast as we normally do, because it always feels like Friday deadline day is rushed.
I hate Friday deadlines. Yeah. This day becomes absolutely manic for me.
No
DMs today, just piss off.
I always like to make my transfers as late as possible. But last night, I just got them done. Firstly, because I didn't know about price rises. I thought I may get stung. And I just didn't want the headache today, to be honest with you. It's just like, if it's done last night, then I've got nothing to worry about today from captaincies and deadlines and all that kind of stuff. But today's first pod for your ears about the People's Poll, James. We put three topics out, probably knew what was going to win. What did win?
No, I didn't. I mean, it won by a landslide, but I wasn't too sure, actually, because I think they were all interesting options. So one was the idea of perma-captain Romelu Lukaku. We're not doing that, are we? Mohamed Salah, partly because of Lukaku's injury, because I think a lot of people were going to go, myself included, Lukaku against Salah this week. And is it easiest just to go, I sod this. I'm just going to go with Salah every week. His effective ownership is going to be over 100%. Second option was Chelsea assets, because Chelsea still have three brilliant fixtures. They might be without not just Lukaku, but obviously Werner. Mm-hmm. But the winner of the vote by a landslide was Romelu Lukaku replacements. Try and come to a conclusion of who's best. And I also think it will be dependent on different scenarios. The first thing to say is, my Twitter timeline in the 10-15 minutes after Lukaku's injury on Wednesday night was hilarious, because the amount of people I heard go, "That's it, I'm getting Werner." Well, that lasted about 10-15 minutes, didn't it? If that, it was incredible. Because although I'm one of them, I know a lot of people had sort of Werner on wildcard last week, and there will be some people who went Werner and Lukaku last week on wildcard because of this run of fixtures Chelsea got. Was not convinced on Werner at all. But I thought the same. I did think, well, if Lukaku's going to be out, just short-term for those three fixtures solves the problem, and then you can move it on in game week 12 or when Lukaku's back fit. We should clarify the injury prognosis. Neither me or Sidra are injury experts.
Nope.
But I have a centre-forward who has a history of ankle injuries. I tend to know what it means. Protective boot is bad. Protective boot and crutches is worse. And protective boot and crutches is what it appeared to be what Romelu Lukaku left Stamford Bridge in. A twisted ankle can be something that, in theory, you could probably get back to in 10 to 14 days if you're lucky. I think, personally, it's more likely that Romelu Lukaku will probably return in game week 12 or later. I would be surprised. I mean, he's not going to play this weekend. I know that's not 100% confirmed yet, but I'd be staggered. In any case, it's not like it's Champions League final this weekend. It's Norwich at home. What are you going to take the risk for? I would personally be very surprised if he's available for the Newcastle or the Burnley fixtures afterwards.
Yeah, it's not going to be one of those miraculous recoveries and he's going to be on the team sheet tomorrow. So we do need to think a little bit longer term. Do you feel like the circumstances that people are in are driven by a few factors, I guess? A, how much money you have. So can you afford even to go up a little bit? There's only a couple of players that are higher in Kane and Ronaldo. Or do you go sideways and that's basically Vardy? Or do you go down? And if you go down, you open up the world of opportunity to you. But I guess it dictates then, do you still have your wild card? And so are you looking for a 8 to 10 week pick rather than a 2 to 3 week pick if you're planning on wildcarding soon? There's a number of factors in the decision-making process. I didn't own Lukaku to start with anyway, which was a strange scenario. I felt like so many people did have him. I had Ronaldo to Lukaku ready and set to go. I'm still selling Ronaldo. I still got a Lukaku replacement, if you see what I mean, because I had to buy someone else instead of Lukaku. And I was in a situation where I knew I wanted Kane in a few weeks. And I do think actually Kane over the next 5 or 6 is going to come good. So I went to Kane from Ronaldo and it left me exactly the set of the right money for Diogo Jota to Kai Havertz.
Oh, I love it.
And that was it. So it felt like because I had exactly the right money, it just felt fated that this was the right move to go for. So Havertz is going to...
Have you bought a promo this week as well?
No.
No.
No. I didn't completely copy all your transfers. The difference between you and me is mine were for free.
Sij and I have not spoken about transfers. Have you already bought Havertz as well?
Yeah, last night. On that? No, I just got it done.
I've bought Kane as well. And I think that's worth saying for the rest of this pod is there is a little bit of bias in my own decision-making for Kane because I was so set on the plan of it being him in game week 12 and not believing it was worthwhile looking somewhere else for 3 weeks and then knowing it would still be, because part of my 12 plan was it was going to be a -4 Kane to Lukaku. It wasn't going to be a 1-3 transfer because I want to work Sonny in that game week as well. So it was going to be part of a -4. So that wouldn't have changed. So it would have been -4 whoever got in now, another -4 to Kane. I didn't think it was worth it.
No.
I'd be backing someone over 3 game weeks to definitely score more, 5 or more than Kane over 3 game weeks. And really, for it to be worthwhile, I'm probably saying I want it to be more than 8 or so effective. And it obviously could go the other way, right? It's not like Harry Kane can't score, even if it's just 1 in each of the 3 game weeks and walk away with, I don't know, 24 points, for example, something like that. Ronaldo, I want to talk about first.
Yes.
My opinion going into this weekend would have been before the injury, like -4 Ronaldo to Lukaku. Don't even think about it. Just do it. Actually would have been my strong opinion.
Yep.
So I take it the transfers you made weren't 2 free transfers, part of a -4, right?
No. 2 free transfers. I rolled last
2 week. 2 frees as well. Mm. Would you have made them for a -4?
I would have been less hot on Havertz. I would have been less hot on Havertz. I may have stuck with Jota. That's a real 50-50. Ronaldo to Kane, I would have done 100%. Jota to Havertz, I would have waited to see what Klopp said and whether or not I felt Jota was going to start, which I don't think he will, which is why I ended up pulling the trigger and making that move.
United have a rough run of fixtures. I mean, just next 5, Liverpool at home, Tottenham away, Man City at home, Watford away. He's attractive, but then like Salah and Kane have attractive home fixtures that day. And then Chelsea away in 13 before the swing kind of begins. Arsenal at home in 14, Palace at home in 15. Even in 12, I'm not convinced you'd captain Ronaldo. But I think it's important to reference him because I think a lot of people will be sitting there and like you and were thinking, I was going Ronaldo to Lukaku. What should I do? Would you say it's worth a -4 to move Ronaldo to Kane? Like if that had been it, -4 Ronaldo to Kane, would you have done it?
Not this week.
No, I agree.
Not this week. Not this week, no. I mean, Kane's had a full week's rest. That's important to note. But, I mean, West Ham put in a very good performance again yesterday. I just think it's going to be low scoring at the London Stadium. I just can't see it now going off. We play a nice, tight, compact game. So I can't see Tottenham going threes and fours.
I can see West Ham going threes and fours.
Possibly. So, yeah, I don't see this week as the one to take a minus four to make that happen. Ronaldo, any game, any time, that's a thing. So I wouldn't do it this week.
So what made you decide on Kane? Because I had a clear strategy plan in terms of, as I've already said, Kane from 12 and really kind of compete against Salah from the captaincy perspective, arguably in each of the following four game weeks. Didn't think it was worth the transfer in the middle. Why have you decided to go for Kane?
Yeah, it's a good question. I suppose there's a number of things in my mind. Like, what were my alternatives? Vardy or Iheanacho were the two other players that I was going to go to from Ronaldo. I didn't need to drop to Iheanacho so low because I didn't need to use the money elsewhere. And in a week or two, I think I might move on from Antonio to Iheanacho. So I left that one and I said, I don't really want to drop low. Vardy was a and is a fair shout. But what I really wanted was a heavy hitting captaincy option. Like, I feel like if I'd gone to Vardy, I would have ummed and ahed over captaining him over Salah on any given week. Kane, I feel like, not this week, and maybe not the week after, but if he scores one or two goals in the next couple of weeks, and we can really say he's back. I don't even like saying that phrase, he's back. But if he's really
hasn't gone anywhere.
If he's in a bit of rhythm, then I suddenly feel like I'm much more comfortable captaining Kane than anybody else. So I felt like it was a long-term move that gave me a heavy-hitting captaincy option that I was comfortable with. Vardy, I would have been happy captaining, but I'd prefer to captain Kane in any week. So that was
Who you captain this week? I'm guessing you decided.
Balls out, Havertz.
Wow. You and I haven't spoken about this.
No, balls out, Havertz.
Well, as long as Thomas Tuchel gives the thumbs up later this afternoon, I'm doing the same.
Yeah.
In 10, are you going Salah versus Brighton? Yes. It's not great.
No, it's not, but we'll see what form Liverpool are in then. I mean, if they're still playing well, I'm happy with
that. I think we know what form they're in. I wouldn't, whatever happens on Sunday at Old Trafford, I wouldn't think they're out of form. They had a great result in Madrid in midweek
as
well.
Yes, they did.
Then in 11, Salah goes to West Ham. Kane goes to Goodison. Or are you thinking Havertz again at home to Burnley? That feels too far away to think about captain Havertz in 3 weeks.
It's a little too far. But again, I'll be going Salah in that game against West Ham.
You'll enjoy that, won't you?
I'm not going to that game, actually. I've got a family wedding that day. And I've been trying every excuse to get out of the Liverpool game on November the 7th. I really have. I've been saying that I'm already sick. I had 3 weeks out from the wedding. I've been saying I've got a tummy bug and I can't go to the wedding, so I'm going to have to go to the football instead. But I saw Liverpool last week against Watford and I was like, I don't want to see these lot come and slap us about a bit because they look so good. So if all the games are going to miss, it's that slap in the face.
I worry about you. Tell them you've got the tummy bug 2 days before the wedding.
Nah, don't worry. I'm going to break my leg or something.
Don't do that, mate, because they'll expect you to turn up on crutches.
So yeah, Salah. I think they could do well against us then.
I think looking further afield, look, and this is why kind of the conversation of perma-captain Salah is interesting, because there's plenty going to captain this week. West Ham away is not easy in 11. There's plenty going to captain him again. And then further on, there's a run of fixtures where you go, yeah, okay, do you know what? You could captain Salah all the way up to Christmas. I mean, it's Chelsea in game week 18 or 19, which he could end up missing because of the African Cup of Nations anyway. Although on that, I suspect the Chelsea and Liverpool players will be given an extension. They probably won't miss that game. What about Vardy? You must have considered Vardy as an alternative to Kane.
Yeah.
He's in great form. He's top scorer in the league, isn't he? Other than Salah, maybe.
I've got no kind of anti-Vardy case, if you see what I mean. For me, it was just I'd prefer Kane over Vardy. But every excuse and reason I use for Jamie Vardy, you can use for Harry Kane, sorry, you can use for Jamie Vardy. Like, I've got no issue with anyone that wants to go to Vardy. And particularly if the Vardy money allows you to upgrade a Jota or Greenwood or anyone at that 7 or 8 million, to Son, then it's a no-brainer for me, because I think Vardy and Son could, easily be score more points than Havertz and Kane easily. So if you're going to Vardy over Kane because that 1.5 million, 1.4 million allows you to get to like the likes of Son, I really do like that move as well.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a kind of popular, we're going sort of Kane Havertz by the looks of it. I think yeah. Vardy and Son, for those in a slightly different financial position, is going to be very, very popular as well. What I did like when thinking about it was that Leicester have a bad game week 12, which is when I want to enter Kane. So I don't think I'd have had regret when it came round if I went to Vardy and then went, yeah, I'm going to Kane, because Leicester have got Chelsea in game week 12. And their next three are obviously better than Kane's, for example. Brentford away, which is more difficult now. I think we're all accepting that week on week, they're a half-decent side. Arsenal at home in 10. It's worth saying Arsenal won very comfortably at the King Power last season. Leeds away in 11. With Leeds, you miss potluck, right?
Yep.
You could go there, not touch the ball, get beat 1-0, or Leicester might go there and win 4-1 like they did last season. So the three fixtures are decent. And then actually, after game week 12, they've got a good run again. It's Watford in 13, Southampton 14, Villa 15, Newcastle 16. It's a good run of fixtures. And there's a few in there which definitely gives you the captaincy alternative, I would say, over that period. So does Harry Kane, in all honesty. But why should we be looking overlooking the player who's like got the same amount of goals as Mo Salah so far this season, right? Yep. We're both on 7. I just felt I couldn't think in my mind that I could be sure that Vardy would outscore Kane by the necessary points for it to be worthwhile for me. So I wasn't looking at it as a Vardy over Lukaku decision. Lukaku's got to go as far as I'm concerned. And it wasn't a Vardy versus Kane. It was a Vardy versus Kane, and I need at least five more points from Jamie Vardy over three game weeks. And I think if you're asking me, like, what do I expect from Harry Kane over three games? What I normally expect from Harry Kane over three games, 2 goals probably.
Yeah.
A goal in 2 of the games. Nothing spectacular.
Yeah, exactly.
A goal in 2 of the games. So I need Vardy to be getting 3 or 4. Not convinced.
No, me neither.
Personally. That's why I'm not gone there, but I agree. I think Vardy coming down is going to allow people alternative little ones, like perhaps people can't get up to Kane. I was lucky because I had sort of like 1.7 million in the bank to go Kane and Havertz. There'll be others who that move going Lukaku to Vardy is going to open up perhaps people still sitting there like I am with Jota Greenwood. Perhaps it'll open up more money to go from, say, a Buendia, some people are beginning to talk about selling, for example. So I think Jamie Vardy is a very, very viable option. And I wouldn't say to anybody, don't buy Vardy. The only side note to pick up on what you said, Sudhij, about Iheanacho, I would say is off the table at the moment because of Patson Daka's performance in midweek.
Not convinced on that. I mean, it was Europa League. He did, yeah, scored 4 goals. No doubt about it. He's put his hand up and said, look, I want to play. But Europa League, and he rested quite a few of the players, didn't he, in that game?
Yeah.
So
it's still enough for me to think, I'm not sure I want to be getting Kelechi Iheanacho in my team right now.
Yeah.
That's my point. I actually think he would probably be in that kind of price range. He'd probably be kind of 5th, 6th on the list, actually, in my thinking.
Mm.
There's one more premium player we need to talk about. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. Are we still calling him a premium?
We can't call him that. He scored the other last game, so we can't call him that anymore.
Or Goliang. What's interesting about it is, technically, you could buy him, you could captain him this week. Villa at home.
Yeah,
Villa give up a lot of shots. It wouldn't be the worst shout in the world. He has scored the other night. And an 11... where we've spoken about sort of Salah, Kane having those difficult away fixtures. If you're not getting something Chelsea offensive and don't like it, he's got Watford at home.
Mm.
And so I did consider that as well to go, same thing. Can I go Aubameyang for the three games? And actually, looking at it, I probably wouldn't have captained Vardy in any of the three games. But I think Arsenal against Watford and 11, knowing they haven't got any European commitments or anything, I'd have gone, yeah, I'm not sure I want to overlook that.
Yep.
And I probably would have ended up sticking the armband on Aubameyang in 11, actually. So I did consider that, as mad as it will sound, but I came to the same conclusion, and he's just so frustrating at the moment. I don't think he's playing like a 10 million forward.
No.
Frankly.
Yeah, I'm not so keen just because Leicester away, Liverpool away in 11, it's 10 and 12, isn't it? Leicester and Liverpool for Arsenal with Watford in the middle. Those two fixtures, nah. No.
Okay.
No.
So the other options, if you're not Kane, Vardy, I don't think anybody goes to Ronaldo at this stage. I think Aubameyang is kind of the real punt one. Another option is obviously to come right down in value. And we've spoken about perhaps people moving money to getting habits or getting money for Son.
Mm.
For those who are coming down to this kind of 6.5, 7 million range, it opens up not just those players, but it also opens up the possibility of other important players that might give you the captaincy coverage. For example, Sadio Mane.
Yeah.
Kevin De Bruyne.
Yep.
So you can really rework your team here. And I think for those who are thinking that, this is a route that you should seriously consider, is saying, do you know what? Now I'm not going to have a premium forward. I'm going to look away from this. And my kind of, let's say, plan B captaincy is going to be in the midfield area. And Kevin De Bruyne obviously offers up alternatives, particularly Mane and Salah together. I'm not a big fan of at the moment, but I understand if people want to do that for a run of games. Personally, I don't think Liverpool's fixtures are good enough in the short term to actually justify going down that route and paying that money for Mane when there's no way you're sticking the armband on him over Salah at the moment. So I would prefer to look at Kevin De Bruyne as an option, but I think people are going to look at it. Who in the mid-price range of the forwards stands out most to you? Who would you, if you'd have gone there, what's your instinct?
Are we saying Tony's not mid-price and cheap?
Yeah, I would put him in that value. Between 6 and 7-ish.
7.5? Can we go to Callum Wilson?
Yes. Yeah, I would stick him in that at the moment, yeah.
Yeah, Ivan
Antonio,
Tony,
I would say, is a little above
he's,
it.
He's above it.
I don't think you're not going to Antonio now. No. Next two are decent. West Ham have got, I think, over the next day, I've got them only Manchester United worse over the next day.
Yeah. I wouldn't recommend Antonio anyway, even if he was cheaper. The standout, I mean, Ivan Tony definitely is up there. The only reason Tony's not in my thoughts is because he's already in my team. And I feel like every time I say it, I need to check myself in the mirror and laugh at myself. But Callum Wilson. Newcastle are going to be rubbish and concede, but they will score goals. They've shown all season so far that they can score goals, and I think they will score goals, continue to score goals. Steve Bruce out the door. I don't know who's going to be coming in, but Fonseca is well and truly bookie's favourite by a long shot. St. Maximin and Callum Wilson, I reckon they'll score goals. So he'd be well up there for me, even though Newcastle have been dog shite.
I would say, from what we've seen, and we've spoken about Graham Jones, who's interim manager. We've spoken about him a lot and praised him in terms of some of his coaching methods over the last 10 months or so. I think it's fair to say he's not going to suddenly lock up that defence.
No.
Definitely not. He's a good coach. He's probably going to go and tell him to go and play and go for it, I imagine, at Palace this weekend. Eddie Howe was strongly linked earlier in the week. Now we think Fonseca's probably at the front of the race. I did a lot of research into Fonseca in the summer because it looked like he was coming to Tottenham. And I can tell you that they will score goals. They will go for games. He does not believe in, okay, they're playing at the Etihad, sit behind the ball. There's a good chance they'll go and get murdered 6 or 7-0 then. They will keep conceding goals, I think. But going forward, yes, I think Wilson, we have to bring St. Maximin into the conversation, who's what? Fourth highest scoring forward. I did some analysis on him for some of our advanced tier patrons last week and said that I thought Wilson was probably bad for his potential FPL returns because Wilson tends to make all the running in behind if he's in the team rather than when he's not, St. Maximin takes the onus to do it. Wilson, I think, is a no for me at the moment, Suj, because one, we haven't got the unknown. We haven't got the known. And it could be that it's not Fonseca. And it could be that someone comes in who's a lot more defensive. Because there is a lot of focus on the fact that the defence is shite, right? They need some help. It's Palace away, Chelsea at home, Brighton away. So in the next three, they've got two of the best defences in the league at the moment. Palace are beginning at a serious good side. Brighton, we cannot underestimate anymore. It was a decent defensive side, right? Beyond that, I'm interested because there's a spell from, and I spoke about it on Clash of Correspondence with FPL Fibler, 12 to 15. of Brentford at home, Arsenal away, Norwich at home, Burnley at home. And I think it's going to define what happens for them, that four-game run. Arsenal away is obviously not easy in the middle. But those three home games in four game weeks, Brentford, Norwich, Burnley, they need to put some points on the board there.
Definitely.
I'm looking at Wilson as, for someone like me who's wildcard in 16, I'm strongly looking at Newcastle 14 and 15 for those two home games. And as I said to Si, I imagine I'll probably have Wilson at some point. I think for me, I'll end up buying him probably just for 14 and 15, actually. Because 12, my priorities will probably lie somewhere else. Although, going Kane now opens up the idea of actually going to Wilson in 12 rather than 14. But I think if I had to go now, Serge, there's only one place I'd be going.
Raul Jimenez.
No, it's Tony, mate.
Tony, yeah. I mean, like I said at the start, for me, I already own him. So that says all you need to know. The only thing putting me off Tony is I can't feel comfortable with the double up on,
I get that,
on Mbeumo and Tony. That's the only thing that keeps rankling at me to stop me getting Mbeumo. Now, I don't need him yet anyway, but yeah, it's just the double up. You've got to be comfortable with the double up. But remember how much money they cost. Nothing. They're so cheap. They're real,
well,
allowing you so much else with your team. So, yeah.
Exactly that. I mean, for example, you get both of those players for a far cheaper price than Sadio Mane, for example.
Yes.
I think that works out anyway. It's close, probably. And you have to factor that if Brentford score a goal, there's a fair chance you've got a goal involved.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
We know some of the defensive players, and even like Norgaard had six efforts on goal against Chelsea, which is a freak, by the way. We have to accept that if you go with a double up, there's a fair chance you're getting returns. Leicester at home this week is obviously a tough fixture, but Leicester defensively are, you know, three conceded in Moscow again in midweek, two conceded against United the week before. Kind of rocking up at averaging conceding two goals per game since game week 30 last season, basically.
Yep.
So you can definitely look at both of those two Brentford attacking players now. And beyond that, Burnley away, Norwich at home, Newcastle away. I mean, them three games afterwards, that's the current bottom three.
Mm.
So if you're looking for next four, I make them even the fifth game, 13 to Everton at home. I make Brentford best over the next five. And actually, if you want to look further, Tottenham, Leeds, Watford, 14 to 16 shouldn't scare anyone. I actually make Brentford best on my fixture ticker over the next eight. So you could look at Tony short-term, medium and longer.
Yeah.
And I think that's the simple solution then. I think there is a consciousness that because of that, a little bit like what I warned about kind of Raul Jimenez before he was up and running around game week four and Wolves' fixture swing was, if you go in, you are probably going to end up staying in because the fixtures never progressively get worse. You could get to Tottenham away in 14 and go, that's not great. But then you look beyond and see Leeds and Watford and you think, I'm not sure I want to sell this player actually. So he's the one I'd want to be going to. And he's almost definitely the player that I am going to buy. And it will either be in 10 or 11. It's not going to be for now. I did consider going Lukaku to Tony and holding the money and then going Antonio to Kane in 11 when West Ham walk into Liverpool and Tottenham play Everton. But decided I was better off, same thing, going with Kane first, actually, in spite of those Brentford fixtures. Because Tony, I think, he's going to be great at his price for what he is in terms of consistency, talisman. For me to decide Tony over Kane on a three game week period, I'm looking for Tony to go big.
Yeah,
I don't think that's there.
No,
I don't see him getting hat tricks and stuff in this league, person.
No.
What about Jimenez? I did mention him.
I feel stupid saying I don't see Wolves going crazy big in many games. They just scored three in their last game and two the previous one. So, he's also a steady Eddie option. So he falls into the category for me. If I was just going to sit there and have someone ticking along for the season, he would be in there. If you're jumping on, jumping off, looking for captaincy options, then Jimenez isn't the one. But if you just want a straight replacement that you don't want to worry about, set and forget, then Jimenez has been good for how long? Years. So I think that's really down to the circumstances. If you don't need a captaincy cover, then you can go to Raul Jimenez.
I think Jimenez is certainly competitive against Tony. I mean, I actually make Wolves best over the next six, which is when this run that's been going on forever ends. And the final two of that run are particularly attractive, Norwich and Burnley. I look at the four before that, Leeds, Everton, Palace, West Ham. I think that's a bit middling. But if I compare the next four, Jimenez versus Tony, in my mind, that's not close.
Yep.
Because of the next four for Tony. I would definitely go Tony. I think if you're looking specifically at someone to get until game week 15, i.e. you might have in mind a wild card in 15, then I think, and you know, right, this player's going in, it's dead, I forget about it. I think Jimenez is competitive to Tony. But otherwise, for me, I think I'd go Tony ahead of him.
Mm. Yeah.
And I think Wilson right now, I think, would probably, even though I'd like to get him either 12 or 14, I think actually would come under Jimenez, I think. I think it would be Tony, Jimenez, Wilson. I'd put Iheanacho under that as well.
Yeah.
Is there anyone else at that value you'd really consider?
No, I had a look at the stats there. For my personal circumstances, there isn't really, not at the moment. That's not to say a few players might not put their hands up in the coming weeks and put their hat in the ring. Danny Ings, I suppose, at any point.
I was just thinking the two Villa players. Consistency is good.
Chris Wood.
To be fair, Jack said that to me. He messaged me, Turfy Top, and he said, it's Chris Wood time, mate. And yeah, they do. I mean, look, they've got Southampton, Brentford in the next two. Then I think the run is kind of middling. Chelsea, Palace, Tottenham, Wolves. Newcastle after that, 15. Then it stiffens up again a bit.
If I was being very punty and I was just going for it, I'd go to Odson-Edouard, maybe. Newcastle, Wolves, Burnley in the next three of the next four, followed by Villa, Leeds.
Yeah. Yeah, you could do.
It is completely.
I mean, why timing's not right because of Newcastle at home, but then you're also walking into the player that's going to the Etihad next week. And I'd be a little bit alarmed by the fact he and Benteke both played on Monday night at Arsenal. And they obviously both scored. So does that mean Edouard stays in a wider position at the moment? And if that's the case, then that's of zero interest to me.
Yeah.
So actually, ironically, I think for me right now, Edouard would come below Wood. I think. If the Villa players were affordable, although I don't like their fixtures, Ings and Watkins will tick over and get returns. So I'd probably put them two ahead of, if they were affordable, ahead of Wood, but below Jimenez. Iheanacho would be somewhere in the middle there. That's a potential explosiveness, but a potential problem. And I think at the moment, a lot of us are just putting out fires. I don't really want to take a chance on just another fire. Have you got a fire in your house? So just literally stepped away from the microphone, which is so helpful. You could have said, James, can you pause the audio? One other option for the listeners who are still with me, he's unbelievable, is to smash it right down. Would you consider, Serge?
Someone was ringing the doorbell. Sorry, mate. And no one else was answering the flipping door. Anyway, don't worry.
So it was at the door. The listeners need to know now.
The cleaner.
Some of us can afford cleaners. Yeah, yeah. Some of us can't.
I'm not at home, James.
Oh, at work?
No. I'm away, aren't I?
Where are you?
In Cambridge. Sunny Cambridge.
I didn't even know. Nice weekend, mate.
I will.
There is one final option. If we're not considering, obviously, the forwards at kind of mid-price and stuff. Well, actually, there's two more. There's one team we haven't spoken about, and we really should. Southampton. Good run of fixtures. Great next four, Burnley, Watford, Villa, Norwich. Then they go to Anfield in 13. Armstrong, consideration?
No.
Obviously, didn't play last week.
All I would say, re-Southampton, is... with the patrons, we play a minus 56 league each week where we have a fresh team every single week. This week, Armando Broja is in my minus 56 team because I reckon he, again, short term, he's an interesting punt. If you were to go from Lukaku, your premium all the way down to 5 million, I reckon you'd be all right for a couple of weeks. but then know that you've got your bench fodder player set up and you can use all that money to beef up so many other areas of your team. So I think I'd go to Broha, play him for a couple of weeks, but then leave him as my first sub or second sub.
If I said to you now, you've got to come right down and go to Broha at 5 million, and he's definitely the outstanding at that value. There isn't any debate around anyone else, even though we're not certain he'll even play. Would you go to him, or actually, would you go further and just go, fuck it, I'll have the extra 0.5 in the bank. I'll go 2 or 1 up front.
Who's playing at 4.5?
There's no one. You're just saying it's dead, mate.
No, I don't think I would do that. But that's not my style. I like to have 15 playing players.
But you don't know that's a playing player. That's the point.
Or 15 players, at least, that are in the country. They haven't been loaned out overseas or, you know.
I think Southampton, unfortunately, we don't have the info.
Yeah, I think it's too much rotation.
If
there.
I had to buy one of the three, because Che Adams is apparently fit again as well, I would go to Broha and accept that he was going to give me a headache every week that I don't particularly want, because I think he's good enough that you have to start him in the majority of fixtures.
I actually think, and this people will disagree if they want, but I think he's going to force his way into that team.
He very well could do. Yeah,
I think he's good enough and has shown that he can force his way into that team. So I think actually, yeah, I'd like to take a punt on him over Armstrong and Adams and the others.
Why haven't you then?
No, I don't need to drop that cheap. You know, if I was to move on from Tony when their fixtures got tougher and wanted to downgrade, Broha for sure. But I like three up top at the moment.
What about Solomon Rondon for a 1 week punt home to Watford? Ends podcast.
Yeah. I don't even know where we're going down this rabbit hole now. Listeners, in the last half an hour, if you haven't found the replacement to your Lukaku-shaped problem, then I think we are beyond being able to help you now.
I really should shout out for the guy who keeps bugging me on YouTube. Just a reminder that Neil Morpay has Manchester City and Liverpool in the next two.
Good.
Not advising that one.
No, we are not. Later on today, if you are listening it to this before the deadline, James will be streaming. What time will that be? 5 o'clock UK time?
There ain't
time?
Much point listening to this after the deadline, yeah. But you probably still enjoy it. 5
UK time.
30 p.m. UK time.
And for the patrons, we'll have our differential show out for you soon as well. That'll run down our picks for the week, our teams, differential team, and all the other stuff that we do, including our predictions. Been a busy week. Hope you've enjoyed it. And we'll be back at you next week with a full schedule as always. Stay safe. Chat for now.
Oh, fucking hell. Useless.
Do you know why I paused?
Why did you pause?
Because we spent the entire podcast and didn't talk about the Europa Conference League and Vitesse Arnhem. Ends podcast. Ciao for now.
Bullshit to that. Ciao for now. Be nice to each other, everyone. Hope your arrows are green this weekend. Good luck. Cue music, please, man child.
Fantasy Football Show.
Sports Social Podcast Network.